The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Week one schedule hot off the presses. Let's go Cowboys at Bucks. Talk to me. We got the Steelers and Bills as a solid AFC matchup. Seahawks, a disgruntled Russell Wilson. Don't forget, guys, Carson Wentz now in Naptown. Browns and Chiefs, tons of firepower there. Dolphins and Patriots, a good AFC East rivalry. And then, of course, Bears at Rams, potentially both new quarterbacks. What am I talking about? Both new guys. So that'll be a lot of fun. I am going to start with you, sir. Which matchup are you most excited for week one?
It's got to be Browns-Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs coming off of that Super Bowl loss and how mortal Patrick Mahomes looked. Mm-hmm. You saw what Andy Reid and Brett Veach did out there. They retooled that entire offensive line, four new faces on that group, and it's headlined by the trade for Orlando Brown right before the draft, and then they signed Joe Tooney in free agency. So I'm interested to see how all of that works out and how explosive that offensive looks. But also the other side of that game with Baker Mayfield. I mean, this is a guy that has some questions in terms of him being able to elevate his game. We like what he saw in year three about the step that he took. Now that he had a competent head coach in Kevin Stefanski, now that there's more stability within the organization with Andrew Berry as their general manager. But in looking at this Cleveland Browns team, this is one of the most complete rosters in the NFL, if not the most complete roster in the NFL. The biggest question is, can their quarterback take this team where they want to go? And it's a big year for Baker because the Browns organization is coming up on having to make a decision on whether or not they're going to sign him to a long-term contract extension. So having the opportunity to see Baker Mayfield against what a lot of people think is the best in the game in Pat Mahomes, seeing those two players go head-to-head, I'm really excited about that.
Don't forget another big name that you love, OBJ.
Yeah, he's coming back.
And yeah. How's that chemistry going to be? Is he going to get the ball? What's he going to look like?
And right, if Odell looks like Odell used to look, it's going to be a problem. But the issue is this. First of all, we already know what it is. Chiefs are going to win a whole lot of games and be live and probably the favorites out of the AFC. Because as you mentioned, they had a need on the offensive line. They went and got Brown and Tooney. They got the two best guys, right? They locked it down. And I totally disagree with you, him looking human. Patrick Mahomes had one of the most spectacular performances I can remember in any sport in a championship game. It's just that he was pressured on 56% of the snaps, and they never had to blitz because the line was such a mess. He did superhuman things. He was the most spectacular player on the field.
Max, was the Super Bowl even competitive?
Of course not.
Of course not.
Because not because of Patrick Mahomes.
He's talking about some of those throws.
Not because of Patrick Mahomes. He was on the run for his life. He did things no one else in the history of sports could have done. All right, look. The most intriguing matchup is actually Miami and New England. That's actually the most intriguing. Yes, it is. Miami got. Try to sell me. First of all, New England came two plays away from winning nine games in a year in which Cam Newton was coming off of a catastrophic injury into a new system, totally bereft of weapons, which is why Tom Brady left, even fewer than Tom Brady had. Then he got COVID. They had to shut down the facilities two plays away from winning nine games, as it was, won seven games and beat some good teams. They're going to be better this year. And the Patriots spent money and they got a quarterback for the future. The Patriots this year are going to contend for the AFC East crown. And there's so much on the line for Belichick because the Patriot way at this moment looks like the Tom Brady way. Where's the team that we at preseason everyone likes? Where it used to be the Patriots? Now it's the Bucs, Tom Brady's team again. Where does that leave Bill Belichick? There is an enormous amount on the line for Belichick. And now let's look at the Dolphins. The Dolphins draft Tua. Tua is supposed to be a superstar quarterback when he had that it factor in college, right? And he was going to be, if not for the injury, he might have been drafted first overall. They won 10 games last year, right? But they also had high draft picks from trades. Usually you get a guy like Waddle. It's not because, you know, it's because you weren't that good. So you had a high draft pick. No. Miami got it through trades. They were 10-win team.
Through Laramie Tunsil.
They got that.
They got that no-name defense, but those dudes can play. They got Tua in year two, the development year, with a wideout who can, you don't have to go deep. He can turn a 5-yard pass into a touchdown. They are going, everyone automatically thinks Buffalo in this division, not at all. This is a three-horse race. New England and Miami are right there. That's the most intriguing game.
He needs New England to do well because this is the guy with the cliff prediction. And he has,
I like Miami.
He has a weird obsession with Miami. He wants Aaron Rodgers to go there. When you're talking about those two teams, when we're talking about the Chiefs and the Browns, who do you think has the better defense?
I would right now go with the Browns.
Really?
I like what they did. Yeah, adding to Davion Clowney to be able to book in Myles Garrett. And then what they did this offseason on the back end of that defense, being able to bring over half of the Los Angeles Rams secondary and Troy Hill and Johnson, I think that was huge. And then also finding Greg Newsome, the corner out of Northwestern in the back half of the first round, I think that's going to be huge for that defense because that was a sore spot for them last year. So being able to upgrade your defensive line, your pass rush, and then being able to improve your secondary, we all know that rushing coverage work together. I think that defense is poised to take a big step forward, and they're going to need that. And if you couple that with what they were capable of doing with finding an identity with that run game and then Baker Mayfield continuing to improve, I mean, not only are you talking about the Browns winning the AFC North, but you're talking about the Browns being a title contender,
which is why you're out of your mind when you say the
Dolphins and the Patriots is more intriguing
to me.
I've got like 80 other games I can get to.
Dolphins, Patriots, but you think
Browns are favored to win the division? Should be favored?
Yeah. Oh, it's close. Yes. Yes, by a little. But against the Chiefs, see, the reason that game isn't – I respect the pick. I mean, it's an exciting game. Mainly because Patrick Mahomes is playing. Patrick Mahomes is the most must-see TV in the NFL, maybe in sports. He's the best I've ever laid eyes on. That includes a prime Aaron Rodgers. And because of him, every year on the Super Bowl door, three championship games, right? Two Super Bowl appearances and a Super Bowl. And the thing about the Chiefs, you talk about changes that the Browns have made. From year one to year two with Mahomes as a starter, they revamped the whole defense. They said, that defense is kind of good enough. Good enough's not good enough. We need a better defense. They did it. Then the next year, they win the Super Bowl, right? This year, the offensive line. You know, you had guys, Schwartz, and you had guys who could still play at the tackle positions, but they're getting long in the tooth. They're injury prone. We got to revamp the offensive line. You get the best left tackle on the market. You get the best left guard on the market. They're doing to the offense what they did to the defense the year before, and I expect the Chiefs, because of Patrick Mahomes, to be right back knocking on the Super Bowl
door. Glad we brought you over to the right side. I just want to mention a couple of them
make
before
it
we go to
intriguing.
Break. How about Darnold going against his former team?
I don't think much of Darnold right now. And it's the Jets. The Jets aren't going to be very good.
You're just a hater because you're a Giants fan. That's fair. Let me give you another one.
Why do you think the Jets picked so high in the draft?
What about Russell Wilson going against Carson Wentz? Doesn't Carson Wentz have something to prove with his former coach?
Yeah, but he's also not very good. You're talking about quarterbacks that aren't that good.
Well, maybe he's going to be. Justin Fields versus Matthew Stafford?
If Justin Fields starts, we don't know that he's going to start. And I don't know if they start him against that Rams defense anyway.
How do not all of these excite you? Last one, Jimmy G, golf. It might not be Jimmy G. It could be Trey Lance.
It might not be, and that's the intrigue with that ball game.
Dolphins-Patriots more intriguing than all those matchups. Clearly.
I didn't even look at Dolphins. I glossed over it. You're talking about teams that maybe could contend for the division crown.
Absolutely.
Who's the quarterback, Cam or Mac Jones?
Either one is intriguing. It'll be Cam, but either one is intriguing.
We're talking about two Super Bowl contenders with the Chiefs and the Browns.
Yeah,
stop.
Exactly.
No, you're talking about the Chiefs are better than the Browns because the Browns don't have Patrick Mahomes, which is why I said the Browns should trade for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he's got a beautiful mind. Yeah. The rest of us.
He's a little bit touched, Molly.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
More NBA, let's go. Reports are out that both James Harden and LeBron James could both be returning to their respective lineups after suffering injuries this season. Harden has missed 5 weeks with a hamstring injury, is expected to gauge his readiness along with team officials ahead of the Nets' return to Barclays Center in Brooklyn tonight, sources telling ESPN. LeBron gave his injured right ankle one more day of rest Tuesday when the Lakers beat the Knicks in OT. Woj is reporting James is targeting a return tonight against the Rockets. Chris Canty, whose return has a bigger impact on the playoffs?
Molly, I got to go with LeBron James. I mean, LeBron James, when healthy, is the best player in the NBA. So by default, his absence is going to loom larger than James Harden. Now, I got a lot of respect for James Harden. I know what the record is for the Nets when he plays versus when he doesn't. They're 27-7 with him on the floor versus 9-10 without him. But that being said, the Nets still have two guys that would be considered top 10 players in the world. If you're talking about the Brooklyn Nets without James Harden, you're still talking about a team that's capable of getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe the NBA Finals, just depending on what the matchup is. The Lakers without LeBron James, you're talking about a team that could get bounced in round one of the playoffs. So I just feel like LeBron James, by default, because he's the best player in the NBA, he's going to have the bigger impact in terms of what the Lakers are going to be this postseason.
LeBron has also been a much better playoff performer than James Harden. He's one of the all-time great clutch performers, whether people like it or not. And yet the answer is James Harden for the exact reasons you just said, Chris, because the Nets have two other dudes like that, right? The Lakers only have one. So what that actually means is if James Harden is healthy, the big three are healthy. If Harden's playing with KD and Kyrie, they're winning the chip. And I don't think they're going seven games. I don't think anyone, including LeBron and AD, is taking a healthy big three Nets seven games. And the reason I tell you that, and I've been very hard on James Harden in the playoffs. Perk brought it up earlier. And I'm not backing off that. He has not performed to his usual standards in the playoffs. And as a result, hasn't done even better. In this case, though, he's got two weapons in Kyrie and KD where he doesn't have to be the guy that wins you the game scoring. Maybe that takes some pressure off and he can do it, but I don't think it's going to matter. James Harden, I keep saying it, looked like he rolled out of bed, showed up in Brooklyn, fat and out of shape, looking like a hot mess, and was a walking triple-double with 30 points in wins. They were winning when it was just him and KD. Then KD goes down. Kyrie. Now it's just Harden and Kyrie. They're winning. They're going to the West Coast. They're beating the best teams in the Western Conference. Just Harden and Kyrie. Sometimes it was just James Harden by himself. They were still winning. When KD or just Kyrie or just KD and Kyrie, they're under 500. With Harden, they're almost impossible to beat. James Harden's health right now will determine these NBA playoffs.
First of all, Max, I just want to ask you, can you get another one-liner, okay? Because I'm tired of hearing James Harden showed up to Brooklyn fat, rolling out of the bed. I've been hearing that for the last 2 months, okay?
Carry on.
Get some more bars under your vocabulary. That's the first
carry
thing.
On. Second,
Max used to be a rapper, just, in case you didn't know.
Yeah. I can't tell, Molly, because his bars are the same. Like, you know, rappers, you know,
classic
they switch
bars.
It up and they drop different bars, but that's another story. Listen, here's the thing that I don't understand about you, Max. You contradicted yourself in your own argument, right? You
not
talked about, first you addressed the issue about how James Harden don't show up and deliver in the playoffs, and then you come back and say that he's going to add to the piece, when he's going to make them, he's going to take them over the top. But then in the same breath,
hasn't.
You say that he always disappears. Okay, but let me tell you why. Let me tell you why the big fella Canty is 100% right. Okay? Just look at what LeBron James had to do last year in order for the Los Angeles Lakers to win the championship. He damn near had to average a 30-point triple-double. Okay? And right now, with the Lakers, without LeBron James, they have a single. With the Brooklyn Nets, they have a duo, a top duo in the league at that. KD and Kyrie, if you take James Harden off this thing, stop it, Max, stop it. You take James Harden off this squad right now, KD and Kyrie still might be the favorite to coming out of the Eastern Conference without James Harden. Yeah, Max, they're the best. So you, Max, are you going to sit up here and tell me it's a better duo in the Eastern Conference?
No, what I'm going to sit up here and tell you is, without James Harden, the Eastern Conference will be played between Philadelphia and Milwaukee. With James Harden, no team will take the Nets 7 games in the entire playoffs. That's what I'm telling you.
Max, okay, whatever, man. But listen to what I'm saying. Candy, I agree with you 100%. LeBron James' impact overall, right? Laker Nation, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, the best duo, in my opinion, since Kobe and Shaq. Is must-see TV, okay? They need this. The NBA need LeBron James. We're talking about when healthy, the best player in the world. Max, you know this, okay? Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is this. KD and Kyrie, they should be able, with the supporting cast that they have right now, without a James Harden, they should be able to reach the finals, period. The Kevin Durant.
Without James Harden, you said they should be able to reach the finals?
Why are they under 500
yes,
without
Molly,
him?
Because
No. I just want to make sure I heard you right. Yeah. Well,
then
yeah,
why are they under 500 without him, Perk?
Listen, Molly, there's no way you can't hear me. I talk loud. I talk slow. I'm country.
I wasn't messing with you. I got producers and stuff in my ear, and I wasn't challenging you. I just want to make sure that's what you said.
Yeah, but we could one could argue, right, that when KD is healthy, it's a debate between him and LeBron on who the best players in the world are, right? So KD is healthy. So having a sidekick in Kyrie Irving, shooters like Joe Harris, a veteran like Jeff Green, who's
and
been
why
there
are they
before,
under 500 without Harden? You
LeBron
haven't answered
did
that.
It with Kyrie.
You haven't answered that. Why are they with Kyrie and Kevin Love? He had a third guy who was a distant third, but still a third guy. Why haven't they been a 500 team without James Harden, Perk?
Max,
that's the case.
Max, I don't know, and that's why I don't have the Nets coming out of the Eastern Conference.
Max, they haven't played. That's part of it. We had all the Kyrie stuff we talked about. Like, the three of them. No, I'm saying, but Kyrie's missed a ton of games. KD's missed a ton of games.
But what I'm saying is when KD and Kyrie play together, they're not world beaters. They're a 500-ish team with those two on the court. Harden's what makes them totally impossible. So I'm not arguing LeBron is the best, right? Especially come playoff time. That's the track record. I've said many times Harden has not come through in the playoffs in the past.
But
I will remind you, if LeBron's been on a super team before that had no chance against another super team because Kyrie and Kevin Love were not enough to offset KD and Steph and Klay and Dre. It was too much. And I'm saying right now the Nets with Harden are too much. With Harden. Only with Harden. Without him, they're not going to get to the finals.
Are you calling that Cavs team with LeBron James and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love a super team, Max?
Yeah.
That's a stretch.
Yeah. That's a little far-fetched, man.
Well, I think we can end right there, Molly.
They went to four straight finals. They went to four straight. They went to four. How many?
Kevin Love's not Harden. Kevin Love isn't Harden.
That's right. That's right. This is an even bigger bet. That's an even better big three. Timeout. They lost the first finals to the Warriors without Kyrie or Kevin Love because they were both hurt. They still went 6 games. They won the second finals against the Warriors, who are a 73-win team. And then the Warriors got KD on a 73-win team, and they lost the 2 subsequent finals. They went to 4 finals and won a championship.
Candy,
that's
you
not
get the last
team.
Word, but he lost us with
so
that.
So here's the thing,
what?
Max. If you want to go back.
Wait a
minute.
Candy gets the last word.
I lost you?
You lost us.
Puppets.
Perk told you when you lost us. They're not a super team.
Look.
Just ignore him.
A team that goes
go
to
ahead.
4 straight finals.
Max, can I hear from somebody who's played at a championship level? Please, go ahead, Chris.
Max wants to give us all these history lessons, so I'm going to give him one. Do you forget what LeBron James did to the Western Conference last year? It was gentleman sweep, gentleman sweep, gentleman sweep. And then it was 6 games against the Miami Heat. You mean to tell me that LeBron James coming back to form the duo with Anthony Davis isn't going to have a bigger impact than James Harden joining two guys that are already considered top 10 players in the world?
Yes, it's an
You're
issue.
Out of your mind, Max.
It's an issue
you are
of
out
leverage.
Of your
it's
mind.
An issue of leverage.
Max,
it's a high leverage
time.
Point on the Nets.
You're out of your
time.
Mind.
Time. That means you can't talk anymore.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The Aaron Rodgers drama in Green Bay feels never-ending. With the quarterback's future still up in the air, his predecessor Brett Favre has been vocal on the subject and on a recent appearance on the Great Dane Nation podcast, spoke on Rodgers' ability to hold a grudge. Okay, Brett.
No one, Aaron. He's a guy that will harbor a grudge for a long time. And, you know, I don't see him saying, okay, you were right, I'll come in and play. I see him sitting out before he agrees to come back and say he's wrong. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm not saying he's right. I don't know. But I do think that they've sent the wrong message as far as winning now.
I just have to say one thing. I know we've been talking about this Rodgers story at nauseam, but nothing was worse than Brett Favre's retirement. I was at NFL Network at the time. Do you remember how long that dragged out for? It was like the Brett Favre saga every single day. Unretiring, retiring, et cetera. Just had to get that off my chest. Max, if he leaves Green Bay, is Rodgers under the most pressure? Is it like chip or bust for him?
Easily. Yeah, and it's Tom Brady's fault because Tom Brady reset the bar. You know, once upon a time, toward the end of a guy's career, they could go and just have a little playoff success. You know, Joe Montana went to the AFC Championship game with the Chiefs. Oh, look at that. Montana's so great. It's not just Bill Walsh, right? And you could see other guys. Then Peyton Manning kind of raised the bar. Because Peyton Manning goes to the Broncos off an injury. And in four seasons, he goes to two Super Bowls and wins one at the very end. But when he was great, you know, they didn't have a defense. Then Tom Brady raised the bar again. Because Tom Brady chooses his team and wins the Super Bowl year one and goes through Aaron Rodgers to do it, who, to my eye, has always been a superior player, right? Now, here's the thing about Rodgers. Brady, a lot of these guys, they leave because they're getting older. You know, you have Steve Young in the wings. Okay, get rid of Montana. Peyton's coming off a neck injury. We just drafted Andrew Luck. All right, in Brady's case, they're moving on, and he don't want to commit the money and getting older, whatever. He chooses his team. That's right. He chooses his team. But Aaron Rodgers has been to two NFC championship games under Matt LaFleur. And the first year, he's figuring it out. The second year, he knows the system now. He just won MVP, 48 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, right? So they have a great team. Packers are loaded. Packers are one of, they don't, without, you know, if you took all the quarterbacks off teams and looked at the rosters, Packers have one of the better rosters in the NFL. If you took every quarterback off every team, they're good on both sides of the ball. He's knocking on the Super Bowl door, and he wants to go somewhere else, and he gets to choose? Well, if he chooses where he goes, boy, he better win the Super Bowl. Tom Brady just did. The stakes are high. He'd be the quarterback under the most pressure in the NFL next year.
Max, you got it halfway right when you're talking about quarterbacks changing teams. But with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, we saw the juxtaposition of when an organization goes all in to support their quarterback versus when an organization doesn't. We saw that in the NFC Championship game play out. With Jason Light and Bruce Arians, they gave Tom Brady whatever he wanted, including going out and signing Antonio Brown. With Aaron Rodgers, what did the Packers organization do? They drafted his successor in the first
round. No, I'm saying if he's traded.
I understand that, and I'm getting to that point. If he's traded, the reason why Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay is because he's not supported properly by the organization, which is why he wouldn't be under the most pressure. Everybody would understand it if Aaron Rodgers wanted to get out just because of how the Packers have tried to dictate to him. The previous drafts, after they drafted Jordan Love, the previous 8 drafts, all defensive guys, all guys that couldn't directly impact Aaron Rodgers' production on the offensive side. So I can understand why Aaron Rodgers would want out, which is why he's not going to be under the most pressure if he decides to shoot his way out of Green Bay. If he decides to leave, he's not under the most pressure. The quarterback that is under the most pressure is Matt Stafford. Because Matt Stafford is going to a team that was in the playoffs three of the last 4 years, a team that's had 43 wins over the last four seasons, and a team that decided to trade two future first-round draft picks because they didn't have a one this year in order to get rid of the guy that took them to the Super Bowl in 2018. So it's clearly Matt Stafford. He's the guy that's under the
most
pressure.
Well, you'd be right if.
He's joining a team that had the number one defense last year and a team that has one of the most innovative offensive minds in all of the sport in Sean McVay. So it's got to be on Matt Stafford. The whole knock on his career, the whole story of his career has been he's not supported properly by the Detroit Lions. Well, guess what? That excuse is gone now for Matt Stafford.
You'd be right if, because I've argued Stafford, Rodgers doesn't get traded. If Rodgers forces a trade to the team he chooses, just like Brady did the year before, then it's Rodgers. At this moment, as things are now, it is Stafford because his whole legacy is on the line. Stafford's legacy is on the line, insofar as he has one, because we've always acknowledged that he has elite talent, but he's in a losing organization. And now we're going to see how much of that was Stafford and how much of that was circumstance. But that's one legacy on the line. But if Rodgers forces a trade to his chosen destination, it's a much bigger legacy on the line in the sense that, well, Brady had Belichick all those years. Mike McCarthy was a nice coach in his day. He won Belichick. The Packers were a well-run organization. They weren't the Patriots. If Rodgers had Brady's situation, he'd have all the rings. Then Brady gets traded, right? Or, sorry, chooses a team, signs with the Bucs. And the Bucs win year one. Well, they were loaded, but they went through Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Well, Rodgers' coach took the ball out of his hands. Okay, Rodgers, but now you choose where you're going. Ostensibly, he would choose a team with a great offense, right? I mean, he wants out. Now the pressure's on Rodgers. He was on a team knocking on the Super Bowl door, two 13-win seasons, two NFC championship appearances at least, and they just drafted a quarterback. They're not spending any more draft picks on quarterbacks anytime soon. He was in a great situation to compete for a Super Bowl every year. He chose out. Brady did it. What are you going to do, Aaron Rodgers? It's a bigger legacy than Stafford's on the line if he forces a trade.
Max, I hear where you're coming from, but here's where I will disagree. If you're Aaron Rodgers and you've tried to get the organization to come around to doing what you feel like they need to do in order for you to take this team to the next level, at some point you're going to stop trying to run through that door and you're going to try to find another door to open. And I think that could be where Aaron Rodgers is getting to if the Packers don't make some serious concessions. So again, if it comes down to Aaron Rodgers trying to force his way out of town, I don't think anybody's going to hold it against Aaron Rodgers, even if he doesn't go somewhere and win a championship, because people will look at the Packers organization as malpractice for trading a guy coming off of an MVP season.
I have a thought experiment I'd like to do. Let's pretend Aaron Rodgers stays in Green Bay. Who's the biggest threat to the Bucs in the NFC?
The biggest threat to the Bucs in the NFC would be the Packers if Rodgers stays in Green Bay. Yeah. I mean, they were the biggest threat this year. The Packers had real chances to win that game, and part of it was on Rodgers. He had daylight to the end zone. He chose not to run the ball. And had he run the ball, you mean to tell me he gets the two or the one? They're not going to go for it on fourth? No. So, you know, they've already seen, hey, he had three shots at the end of the second half, at the end of the first half. And, but, you know, he made some decent throws, but also made throws that could have been a little better. And they didn't get anything done. Maybe that was on coach's mind when he blundered to take the ball out of Rodgers' hands. But they had chances to win last year.
Chris, where are you?
Well, here's the thing. And to answer Mac's point, the reason why Aaron Rodgers didn't run that ball is because Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett weren't going to let him get close to that end zone.
Hey, but, yeah. You don't think he gets close?
No, he's not going to get close. But, Molly, to answer your question,
yes, sir.
It's the Green Bay Packers. Okay. If Aaron Rodgers does stay, but how Aaron Rodgers feels about the situation would probably be dependent on how close he thinks this Packers team is to being able to catch Tom Brady and the Bucs. Because guess what? They went head-to-head. If he doesn't feel like they can close the gap and that they can win that game, then he's probably going to try to decide to go somewhere else to find a better chance to win the championship.
Real quick, we act like the Packers don't have offensive weapons. They do. They could use, I agree with this, they could use a little depth at receiver. What else do they really need? Where you look at the Packers, you go, boy, they just don't have it. Can they run the ball? They can. Do they have a real lead wide out? They do.
Championship games.
What's that?
Lost in like four NFC championship games.
They keep losing those games.
So I need to see him get past that. I don't know. I'm not saying.
But some of that's got to be on the quarterback.
Or maybe it's on the coaching when you're talking about the play call.
Or maybe it's on the general manager too.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast.
We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Stephen A., maybe they won't be an accident waiting to happen after all. Going into the 2021 season, it appears the Dallas Cowboys currently have the second easiest strength of schedule based on their opponents' win-loss records in 2020. Oh, Max Kellerman, the Giants, near and dear to our hearts. Yep. But I guess we're talking about the Cowboys. You think they're going to win the NFC East?
No, I don't, but let's talk about the Giants. The Giants right now are my favorites. And yeah, I'm a Giants fan, no doubt about it. Had Washington made a move for a little better quarterback than they did, I would have taken Washington because they have a more special defense. But the Giants are a good defensive team, and they have a chance to be a really good offensive team. Their real problem has been the offensive line. Notice they didn't take offensive linemen. A lot of that's Gettleman, you know, covering his butt, right? He's saying, well, I've done a good enough job with the offensive line. He probably hasn't. Not a great job, but good enough. Andrew Thomas came on in the second half of the year. Remember, he's the fourth overall pick. Whatever, Nate Solder's not worth the money, but he's a competent offensive lineman. They have a bunch. Pert is decent. Like, they have a bunch of guys who, given more experience playing together, should be adequate. Now look at the rest of the offense. They have Saquon Barkley coming back. It's 233-pound, like, you know, Barry Sanders who can catch passes.
Big
and everything.
Blue, let's go.
This dude, you look at the number of weapons on offense. Slayton's good. Maybe he could be a number one, but they went out and got Golladay, and they drafted Kadarius Toney. And by the way, Evan Ingram, he just has to hold on to the ball, right? But, like, he can fly it tight end. And they brought in Kyle. Like, they have dynamic weapons on offense. A third-year quarterback, and it's is do or die for him, and a real defense. The Eagles are a mess. The Cowboys don't have a defense. Washington doesn't have an offense. The Giants are the best team in the division.
Max, I hate that you're doing this to me because I don't want to say anything negative about the Giants because I love the direction that Joe Judge has this team pointed in. But to say that they're going to win the division is assigning a lot of faith to improvement with those young guys on the offensive line. And it's also saying that the Giants are going to get an answer in the affirmative for the biggest question they got in 2021, which is whether or not they got a quarterback. I mean, you're talking about Daniel Jones, a guy within his first 2 years has got 39 turnovers. Max, as a defensive guy, I know this.
Why are you bringing up old stuff?
It's hard to win when your quarterback is turning the ball over at that rate. As much as I love Daniel Jones, the answer to your question, Molly, about who's going to win the East is the Dallas Cowboys. They have the best quarterback in the division. And with Dak Prescott coming back.
What about the defense?
But with Dak Prescott coming back healthy, along with that offensive line, the Cowboys are going to be able to dictate the complexion of the game. If they can control time of possession, if they can play ball control, guess what? That defense does so bad, they're not getting exposed if the Cowboys got the ball for 35 minutes a game. And so I think they have to get back to that same formula that they used in 2016 when they won 13 games, run the offense through Zeke, and then take advantage of the skill position players that you have on the edges.
May I remind you that 2 years
remind ago, me, Max.
We were saying the Cowboys, they didn't win the division, and the division stunk then, right? And then last year, well, the Cowboys by default, and they didn't win the division, and the division was even worse. Well, they didn't have Dak, but they did 2 years ago. And with Dak last year, early on, it's not like they were world beaters. Every year, it looks like, well, but actually, that's not how it's gone. They came in third last year. Washington had a better record, and the Giants had the same record in the tiebreaker. The Giants just got better. Did Dallas get better for sure? Dak Prescott's back, but they were 8-8 with Dak. 2 years ago. Is this Dallas Cowboys team now better than the one that went 8-8 2 years ago? Are you sure about that?
Max,
I'm not.
Max, if everybody stays healthy, yeah, they're better. Everybody on that team stays healthy, they're better. No question about it in my mind. Everybody talks about the most dominant unit in the NFC East being that Washington football team defense. But I would say that the second most dominant unit would have to be that Dallas Cowboys offense. And I think there's a case to be made with a healthy Dak Prescott and without the distraction of the contract.
He's not wrong.
That is the best
unit. I'm putting my faith.
You're
not wrong. I'm putting my faith that Daniel Jones can at least be a solid average NFL quarterback. You're right. Given that, I think the Giants are the best. They're the only team who can play both sides of the ball.
To be continued. I got more things I need to get to with you all. We spent a considerable amount of time this offseason talking about Patrick Mahomes and, of course, Aaron Rodgers. But let's take a second to branch out a bit here. Chris, who is the quarterback that you're most interested in seeing beyond Mahomes and Rodgers this season? We got a lot of people in new places and a lot of rookies that could be starting.
Molly, it's Matt Stafford for me. And I know we touched on this a little bit earlier, but Matt Stafford worked with the Detroit Lions in order to find the best possible trade destination for him. Mm-hmm. And he decided to go to the LA Rams. Like, that's the team he chose. He keeps an offseason home in Southern California. Like, he wanted to be there. And the Rams and Les Snead and Sean McVay, they made it happen. They traded two future first-round picks in order to bring him over and get this team over the hump. Keep it in mind, they got rid of a guy that got them a Super Bowl appearance a few years ago. So, I mean, it has to be Matt Stafford seeing whether or not the difference in him having success at the highest level is being a part of a championship organization as opposed to being a part of the Detroit Lions. That's the thing I want to see. He's got a number one defense. He's got the right supporting cast, a solid offensive line, and the skill position players. It's whether or not the quarterback can take them over the top. And I can't wait to see him matched up against those NFC West opponents. I can't wait to see him go head-to-head with Kyler Murray twice. I can't wait to see him go head-to-head with Russell Wilson. We're going to find out if the guy that has, in terms of active quarterbacks, the fifth most yards, we're going to find out whether or not he belongs in that territory when we start having the conversation of elite quarterbacks.
I think he is intriguing. I've been saying it. But Stafford at his best when he was young, at least when there was like potential, right? Like you can imagine, to me always had kind of top five arm talent, right? And then there were questions around, is he just in a losing culture, all that. There's a guy playing right now who, when my eyes are on him, I think there's Mahomes and Rodgers and then this guy. And that's Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert has the kind of talent, like we can look at Josh Allen and guys like that, even Matthew Stafford, and go, boy, that's, you know, if you can't have Mahomes or Rodgers, you want that guy maybe. But I would say they're of a different, they're a different kind of player. It's not an issue of degree. Like Mahomes and Rodgers are a separate kind of animal than the other quarterbacks. And Justin Herbert has so much talent. I look at him and think, is he in that group? Is it, can he, because as a rookie, Anthony Lynn did not do a good job and had the handcuffs on. Like, let's be honest about this. As a rookie, Justin Herbert was doing things that you go throwing the ball down the field where you're like, what? What?
It's special.
What?
It's special.
Special. And it's special. Once upon a time, I had that same feeling about Matthew Stafford, but not quite to this degree. Like, when people look for comparisons to Justin Herbert, I've heard people on this network compare him to Mahomes. Stephen A. was sitting where you're sitting, and he said he kind of reminded him of Dan Marino. Now, of course, we all preface it. I'm not saying he's going to be Mahomes or Marino, but those are the kinds of comparisons. That's the rookie or the quarterback I'm most interested in watching this season.
What did it for me with Herbert was watching that game with the Kansas City Chiefs where they pushed that back to overtime. Like that to me was the game where you're like, this kid has got something special.
He belonged there with Mahomes.
They lost like every game by one touchdown.
Yeah, they had to play him before they wanted to because Anthony Lynn was saying he wanted Tyrod Taylor to be his guy. But the reason I go back to Stafford is because while we like what Justin Herbert has shown us, we're not expecting the Chargers to contend for a championship. We're not. They're there. They could be a playoff team, but they're not going to win it all. The Rams, everybody's looking at the Rams saying, what's the excuse? There's no excuse right now. You should be right there with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we'll see what happens with
Green Bay
in terms of favorites in the NFC. Matt Stafford is supposed to deliver a championship at some point over the next 2 years while they got him on the
contract. Let me just give it perspective about Justin Herbert, though. You're right about the team. But to give some perspective, Trevor Lawrence has been more hyped than any quarterback, arguably, you brought it up earlier, maybe since John Elway, as a prospect. Best prospect doesn't always turn out to be the best pro, but as a prospect, Andrew Luck was the last dude that kind of approximated that kind of buzz around him. He checks every single box. Think of the expectations. If Trevor Lawrence is simply as good as a rookie as Justin Herbert was, he would have met or exceeded the expectations. Justin Herbert already did what we're hoping the most valued prospect in 10 years at least might do next year. Already did it. as a rookie,
okay,
already did it.
I keep saying everyone's ignoring me. No one cares about Carson Wentz.
No, Carson Wentz is intriguing too, because he's out of excuses.
That's a hater.
He's out of excuses as well. I mean, he's
his getting former back, coach. That's a good team.
He's getting back with Frank Reich, a really good offensive line, maybe the best in the National Football League. And then you're talking about that defense. Yeah, Carson Wentz is out of excuses. We got to find out who the real Carson Wentz is. Is it 2017 Wentz or is it?
Let me do the Stephen A. Wentz? He's exactly right. But as Stephen A. would say, no excuses. That's exactly right. Yeah. There are no excuses for Carson Wentz.
And the real
you got
Carson
everything.
Wentz, please stand up. All right. In a recent appearance on the Rich Eisen show this week, Tampa Bay Buccaneers GM Jason Light said that he told Tom Brady if he wants to play until he's 50, he can still play like that. He can play until he's 50. A strong statement there. Brady is 43 years old and the defending Super Bowl champ. Max, would you be surprised if Tom Brady plays until he's 50?
That 7 years in the future is too long to predict. Like, we don't know if the world's going to be here in 7 years. Let's be honest. But if it is, yeah, there's a chance that Tom Brady still be playing quarterback in the NFL. First of all, he's a medical marvel, right? Like, the fact that the avocado ice cream or whatever he's eating apparently is doing wonders. The point is that he's entering his age 44 season. He's going to be 44 this year, and he's playing like this. So he's so far off the charts for football players. And a lot of that has to do with also rules changes. You can't breathe on the quarterback. But he's so far off the charts for football players, there's no comp anymore. I can't look at Warren Moon and say, well, he was 41 or Vinny Testaverde or whoever. I have to start looking at other sports. So I look at other sports old athletes. Satchel Paige could still get it done in his late 40s in the major leagues where he was kept in the Negro leagues for most of his career, but was still effective in the majors in his late 40s. Bernard Hopkins. I was ringside watching Bernard Hopkins.
Yeah.
49, 50 years old. Was he as good as he once was? No, but he was competing on a world-class level. So I've seen it's possible in sports to do it. Julio Franco, 46, 47-year-old, could still hit the ball. I've seen it's possible in sports to do it. Not in football, but in sports. I can't rule it out.
I was leaning in, Max, because I wanted to see what you were going to say about Tom Brady. I think you got enough of doubting Tom Brady over
last calendar year.
I'm just saying this. I'm with you on that one. I wouldn't put anything past it. But Tom Brady is not playing until he's 50 years old. Like, he's not channeling his inner George Blanda and talking about being 48, 49, 50. It's just not happening. The nature of the sport won't let him do it. Even though I do think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are set up for long-term success and how Jason Light has built that team, at some point over the course of the next 2 to 3 years, they're going to have to turn that over to another quarterback. It's not happening.
You think?
Tom Brady is going to eventually fall off to the point where they've got a transition, where it no longer makes any sense. So while I'm with you in terms of wanting to be the last one to the party that's going to say Tom Brady can't do it anymore, I also acknowledge the realities of life in the NFL. This is a really physical game. Even though they've changed the rules, the rigors of a regular season, and now with it expanding to 17 games, at some point, that's going to catch up to Tom Brady.
Also,
he's going to have to step off.
You know better than anyone, it takes a lot to get on the field every single Sunday.
It takes
more
a
years.
Lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot of want to. How many more rings do we think he has in him this year? Potentially, and maybe plays one more year and hangs it up, or hangs it up after this year?
Molly, if he plays two or three more seasons, I'm going to say he's got a really good chance at being able to get another ring at this. He's got a really good chance at it.
Yeah, the Bucs are so loaded.
The organization is going to do whatever it takes, whatever he wants. And with Tom Brady, he's also looking at it from a legacy standpoint. He wants to try to push it so far out where there's not going to be anybody that comes remotely close to being able to catch him
and know what else? Brady,
being a quarterback at the championship level.
Brady, like Belichick, doesn't beat himself. Like when Breeze and Brady, it was a tie score in the fourth quarter, tie game. Breeze had beaten him twice in the regular season. Breeze had one, Brady had six. Okay, Drew, what are you going to do? Couldn't get it done. You knew Brady was going to make enough plays to get it done.
Yep.
You didn't know about Breeze. Rodgers had chances in that game, and then he didn't have as many chances because the coach took the ball out of his hands. But you knew Brady wasn't going to beat himself, right? And when you have a quarterback like that on a loaded team, he doesn't – like Peyton Manning won when he was – had
Why don't
left.
You know, take a page out of his playbook? You always beat yourself. You sit up here and beat yourself.
I know. It is telling that you believe that's the case.
By the A block and then the D block. We got to
I just want to say, for the record, Molly is trying to argue
that the Cavs didn't have a big three.
Oh,
when Kevin Love, here we go.
When Kevin Love had a max contract, made two all-star teams on the Cavs, and went to four straight finals.
I have a text from my husband. He knows more basketball than all of us. Are Kyrie, Love, and LeBron a super team? No, lots of O's. Bron in Miami, KD in Golden State, and with the Nets. That's what I told you.
Well, Jalen disagrees, but he's wrong too.